WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time once again. Happy, happy Tuesday, as many of you all have filed back into work after the MLK holiday. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Folks, we've got a hot, hot, hot Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Today, we will be talking with, I tell you what, a Michigan State sports reporting legend. He is a staple from around this area and also a good friend of the show. His name is Jack Ebling, folks. That's right. His show, his daily radio show, which airs, I should say weekly radio show, which airs Monday through Friday, The Drive with Jack Ebling, is making a new move to a certain station that has sparked up a little competition in the area. Healthy competition, folks. Jack will talk about all of that and so much more, as well as give his thoughts on the MSU men's basketball team, the Michigan men's basketball team, as well as the perception of Big Ten football, folks. We'll also talk about the Red Wings, the Detroit Pistons, and since it's Tuesday, we love to dive into Top 5 Tuesday, right? We'll bring to you the top 5 weirdest moments in sports history. You don't want to miss that, folks. It's going to be a fun one, folks, to say the least. Let's start the show like we always do, though. Here are your Current Sports Quick and Headliners for this January 20th. All right, well, let's start with Lansing Sexton alum Jalen Hayes. Now, he was named the Horizon League Freshman of the Week for the third time this season yesterday. Now, Hayes averaged 11.5 points and 7 rebounds in wins over Green Bay and Albion, and had a career-high 17 points in the Albion game. So he is certainly, he was an unbelievable player when he was at Sexton, and now that continues as he balls out for Oakland. All right, head coach Jim Harbaugh has added his son Jay to his staff at the University of Michigan as a tight ends coach. Now, Jay has been a member of the Baltimore Ravens coaching staff as an offensive quality control coach since 2012 and served as a student assistant at Oregon State prior to that. Now, Michigan basketball is back in action Tuesday as they travel to Rutgers. This will be the first game for the Wolverines since the school announced that leading scorer Caris LeVert is out for the year with a broken foot. Tough news there. Now, tip-off is set for 6:30 p.m. tonight, and the game can be seen on the Big Ten Network. And we'll also be breaking down the Michigan men's basketball season thus far. And what does this season entail now that the stud player in Caris LeVert is done for the year? Don't miss that conversation. It's coming in just moments. All right, Detroit Lions are set to part ways with longtime center Dominic Raiola this offseason. Now, drafted by the Lions out in 2001, Raiola has played all 14 of his NFL years in Detroit and holds a franchise record with 203 career starts. The Detroit Pistons, they entered their franchise record 7-game win streak on the road Monday as they lost to the Atlanta Hawks 93-82. Now, poor shooting plagued the Pistons in the loss as the team shot just over 35% from the field. Oh, that's just nasty. All right. The Detroit Red Wings are back in action tonight as they take on the Minnesota Wild. Now, the Red Wings are currently on a 4-game win streak and have won 6 of their last 7. Now, game time is set for 7:30, and it will air on FSD, Fox Sports Detroit. And Duke basketball coach, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, won his 900th and 99th career game on Monday as Duke beat Pittsburgh 79-65. Now, he is the winningest coach in Division I history. Coach K is now just one win away from being the first coach in Division I history to reach 1,000 games. What an accomplishment there for Coach K. All right, Tiger Woods was spotted over the weekend missing a little bit of his grill. Actually, a front tooth, to be more specific. Now, according to his agent, Woods lost a tooth when he was hit in the mouth with a cameraman as media members rushed towards the stage at the World Cup ski races in Italy. Now, Woods was at the event watching his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, compete, in which she became the all-time winningest American skier in the history of the sport with her 63rd World Cup win. How about that? All right, and some tennis action for you. Both the men's and women's top-ranked tennis players advanced in the Australian Open first-round action. Men's number one, Novak Djokovic, advanced in straight sets 6-3, 6-2, 6-4, while women's number one, Serena Williams, also sweeped with 6-0 and 6-4 set victories. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners, for this January 20th. Our phone lines are now open. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, again, that number to call in if you want to comment on anything that we will be discussing on today's Current Sports is 517-355-9527. I want to remind you all that we are now just a day away from our Current Sports TV taping. You guys know that each and every Wednesday night we get it on and popping inside the WKAR TV studios. I'll be sitting down with Bob Anderson, who is the winningest head coach in high school basketball history right here in the state of Michigan. He actually etched his 1,120th career victory on the sidelines a few weeks ago. Bob is going to join me in studio. You do not want to miss that. If you want to get a chance to meet the man and pay homage to him, hey, show up tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Simply go to WKAR.org. Again, that's WKAR.org to sign up online for free to be a part of that live studio audience. It will certainly be exciting, folks. Well, we have an exciting show for you today. Again, during our third segment of the show, each and every Tuesday, we love to bring to you a top five sporting topic, whether it be the top five quarterbacks of all time, the top five memories from the MSU football year. You get the gist, right? So today, we will be bringing you the top five weirdest sports stories of all time, folks. And the reason why we decided to have some fun with this is because, again, that Tiger Woods story I just read is pretty weird, okay? Again, he was spotted over the weekend with a missing front tooth. And actually, you know, he was, his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, happened to be one of my weekend winners because of the unbelievable accomplishment of becoming the all-time most decorated women skier in the history of the sport. How about that? She actually etched her 63rd World Cup win, the most in the history of the game. So Tiger decided to show up and you know, definitely, you know, commemorate his boo-boo. But I tell you what, he got a boo-boo of his own because, you know, as the media flocked to the stage, a cameraman didn't see Tiger, and Tiger was hit in the face with a camera and knocked out his front tooth. How about that? This is a weird story, man. So there have been many, many weird stories throughout the history of sports. I mean, honestly, we could do like a top 20 or top 50 on this subject, but we're going to stick to five. Very tough to narrow this thing down to five, but we tried, or at least I can say I tried, okay? So you don't want to miss that, folks. If you have a weird sports story that you'd like to share, again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll also be talking with, again, a staple in the mid-Michigan community when you talk about local sports coverage, okay? He is he's an unbelievably decorated sports writer and broadcaster. Of course, he has a show entitled The Drive with Jack Ebling, which airs Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. He's actually making a big move from one station to another, and it's a move that is definitely going to spark up some healthy competition when it comes to talk sports radio, I should say, within this area. So Jack Ebling is going to join me on the show. You do not want to miss that chat. He'll talk about the birth of WQTX The Ticket. You don't want to miss that conversation, folks. But, you know, I want to start the show. First off, I got to invite, of course, my outstanding engineer on Current Sports. His name is Alex Sharg. The man behind the glass is what I dub him. Alex, how you doing?
Doing well, yeah. I'm excited to have Jack on today, and I did not catch your Pistons yesterday afternoon. NBA special, huh, Al? Did you catch the game?
Oh,
did you end
up catching it? Of course. Do birds fly? Come on, man. Of course I watched my Pistons. I tell you what, though, that was a tough game for them. I ideally think, you know, when you look at every team that is in the NBA right now, the Atlanta Hawks are the most underrated team in the league. I really believe that. I mean, this Hawks team, it's remarkable because they edged their 13th straight with that win over Detroit. We'll dive into that game in just a sec. But yeah, man, it was good to hear you doing good. Happy Tuesday, my man. I'm actually a little tired today. I actually stayed up pretty late last night because the release of a pretty cool album. Actually, I think it's in the running now, I think, for hip-hop album of the year. I sat back. I got the album. It's Lupe Fiasco's new album, Tutsu and Youth. I've always been a big Lupe fan, and his last few albums have been pretty much duds to me. He's kind of not stayed true to his genre, but when this album came out, Alex, I listened to it front to back, and oh my gosh, I was in heaven, musically. Music heaven last night. So I'm a little tired today, but hey, let's rock this thing out, man, by starting with Michigan men's hoops, okay? Because this team got a shocking blow yesterday that really, and you thought even before this injury, that you know, having this man even in the game still put Michigan in a bad position to win games, seeing as though this season has not gone great for them. But now that, again, their leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading player when it comes to assists, steals, and minutes is now out for the year. Yes, Caris LeVert, folks, is done. Done playing and suiting up for the Michigan men's basketball team. I tell you what, that is just another bad blow to an already bad season right now. What have been your thoughts, I mean, watching this Michigan men's basketball year thus far, Alex? Because, again, we kind of talked about it yesterday, but, I mean, we knew with the departures of guys like Nick Stauskas, Mitch McGarry, you know, Glenn Robinson III, of course, all three of them taking their talents to the next level in the NBA. We knew that this team would take a step back. I just didn't think the step would be this big. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, they're definitely searching for identity like the Spartans is what I would say overall. But for Michigan basketball to lose Caris LeVert, you said it yesterday. You think that Michigan basketball now, it's out the window that they compete at the next level. There's no way that this team can compete nationally at the NCAA tournament in March at a national scale. You say no way. Is that true, Al?
No, this team is so depleted right now. When you look at this, I mean, what gives them a chance is that, first off, the winning has to start now, without a doubt. There is still time for them to get things together. But again, when you're dealt such a crazy card in having Caris LeVert, you know, the main player, again, the team leader in scoring, rebounds, assists, steals, and minutes. I mean, when a guy like that goes out for the rest of the year, and even with them seeing how you struggled, I mean, how can you fathom this team is going to turn it around? I just don't know.
Right.
I don't think.
But yeah. Hey. Do you remember when Ohio State football lost Braxton Miller?
Lost JT
Barrett. We said, you know, they're done. There's no way they can turn it around.
Alex,
I'm not comparing it. They're totally different sports. But what I'm saying is, for basketball, there are other guys on this Michigan team that can play pretty darn well, if not maybe overtaking some of those leadership roles that Caris LeVert have. One guy, how about Zach Irvin? He's been exploding this year.
Right,
he's double-digit points. This guy is very capable to being a leader on this team. I think we're just a little bit apprehensive about it, or maybe you are, Al, is because we just haven't seen anybody take a role yet. And I'm not saying that he will, but it's just a little premature to say, okay, they're done. You don't know. Someone could explode,
Alex,
on the scene.
They are done. And you made the comparison to Braxton Miller and Ohio State. I just think that's not a good comparison at all, because that happened before the season even started. Looking at their record right now, Alex, and looking at the losses they've already had, at least when the Braxton Miller injury happened, the season,
I just said Braxton because it was down. JT Barrett too.
But Alex, when Braxton Miller went out, they hadn't played one game yet. The season hadn't even started yet. For Michigan, the season is already starting to get into the thick of things, and they've already had losses to Villanova, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, Eastern Michigan University, Arizona, SMU, Purdue. I mean, need I go on? I mean,
yeah, but those played, were losses with Karis.
They've played.
Karis was playing.
Well, my point is, I'm just you made the comparison to Braxton Miller. Though my point in that regard is that this season is already in full throttle right now. When that injury happened, the season hadn't even started. So I just you can't compare those two. But right now, again, they don't have an elite win at all. They lose their top leader in score, rebounds, assists, steals, and minutes. Zach Ervin has not stepped up, and I'm glad you brought him up because that's the key for this whole thing for me. There have been multiple moments throughout this year when watching this team, especially on the brink of this year before the season started, that you thought Zach Ervin was going to emerge into a star, that this was the year that this kid was going to get it. I even go back to the summer league in Italy this past summer where Michigan, you know, John Beilein set that schedule up so that this team could become closer together. Going overseas, bonding, and playing the game of basketball, getting away from home, it forces a team to develop that chemistry. And looking at how in Italy, I mean, Zach Ervin was the guy. He definitely outshined Karis LeVert, to be honest with you. He averaged 20.8 points per game, 7.3 rebounds per game. But here's the thing, folks. He's not playing Big Ten teams, okay? He's not playing, you know, number three Arizona. He's not playing Purdue's or Ohio State Universities. They're not playing the level of competition that they are playing currently this season. I did think, though, seeing as how aggressive Zach seemed to be, I mean, he was fantastic. But then look at their last game. Zach Ervin put up 6 points and one field goal against Northwestern. That can't happen. And I think he's been the key to this whole demise, I think. Really, he's been the X factor. There's certainly other points to this team. Defensively, this team is just lackadaisical. There have been moments where this team is searching for a true point guard. They've dealt with different injuries and ailments on this squad as well. Derek Walton Jr. being another one of those keys. He's had a sprained toe most of the year, man. He's been battling all year. When you don't have a true point guard on the squad, especially in college basketball, and we're starting to see that on any level of basketball, that's one of the things I harp on about the demise of the MSU women's basketball team. When you have talented players on a squad who don't play the point guard position, you need a point guard to facilitate to that talent. They don't have that right now, and they are certainly reeling. I just think that they've dug themselves such a big hole right now that the only thing that you can fathom for a certain turnaround for Michigan has to be how they perform at the Big Ten tourney. Let's just say they all of a sudden start clicking at the Big Ten tourney and possibly even win the whole thing. That instantly puts them in the conversation of being a team that squeaks right into the tournament. Right now, this is not an NCAA tourney team, point blank, period. And again, Beilein, you know, it was really crazy stuff here. I was reading an article right before I hit the air, and John Beilein doesn't even know who his starting lineup is going to be today. John Beilein seems confused as to how to turn around this year because he's felt as though he's tried everything. He's digging deep into that bench. He's trying everything to motivate these guys. Don't get me wrong. John Beilein is one of my favorite coaches in NCAA Division I basketball. And I think right now he's just been dealt some bad, bad cards that he's having trouble with playing right now. So right now, as far as John Beilein turning things around, it could happen. But if and when it does, the question for me is, will it be too late? Point blank, period. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So again, U of M, they will be taking on Rutgers tonight. This could be an opportunity for Michigan to get back on track. But again, the absence of Karis LeVert is going to be a tremendous blow for this squad. Tremendous blow, because when you have a guy that you rely on for so many things on both sides of the court immediately out, he's been the player of the year for Michigan this season, which is not saying a lot, again, because they've struggled so much. But when you take away such a huge piece to the puzzle like that, I don't know how Michigan comes out tonight. I just don't know. The only thing you can hope for as a Michigan fan out there, for Michigan fans out there listening, is that this team comes out inspired in the midst of all of this turmoil. So we'll certainly see, though. But again, going back to your point, Alex, I don't think right now this team is not a tourney team. Period. Point blank, period, man. I don't know. What about you?
No, they're not right now. But that goes back to what I'm saying. And if you misunderstood me, Al. I'm not saying this is like Braxton Miller going out. Obviously, it's very different. But what I'm saying is we all doubted Ohio State when they lost JT Barrett. And even a little bit Braxton Miller. You just thought they wouldn't be as good. So what I'm saying is the doubt will be there with Michigan, but you just never know. And that they showed it. They found their pieces. Ohio State found their next quarterback. They were able to gel a little bit. Michigan could gel too. So what I'm saying is we can't jump to the conclusions right now. I think that something could happen to them. What if Zach Urban explodes? We don't know.
This is the difference between, again, you going back to the comparison, this whole OSU comparison. The big difference is that OSU had, again, they had certain studs to come in and definitely manhold let's be honest here. That is the most important position out there in a football game. If you have a great quarterback, you got a good chance of winning any game in football. Basketball is so different because you need guys and bodies to go in there. And it's such an immediate impact with basketball is because you have players who are playing both sides of the court. Again, when you take an equation out, when you take your best player out, and looking even before it and how you have not been able to get it done out there on the court, that is going to deliver a huge blow. So will they get it around? There is nothing that I've seen from this Michigan men's basketball team that breeds confidence in saying that they will turn this thing around. John Beilein seems confused as to how to figure out this puzzle. The players seem confused when they're out there playing. It is just a ball of confusion right now, folks. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls about anything that is on your sports noggin, and we have a caller that wants to talk about the NFC Championship game right now. It's our good friend and dedicated caller, Ray. How you doing, Ray?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, my man.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I go to the basketball first. I tell you, Michigan's winning with mirrors. I tell you, you're not playing much better than they are. I hope you can beat them when you're playing.
Who you telling, Ray? Yeah, I had that rant yesterday.
I don't think your team's playing much better than Michigan is.
Right.
So
yeah.
I hope you can beat them when you play them. When do you play them?
That game, I believe, is February. The beginning of February, I believe, that is on the schedule. If I'm looking here right, that is actually February 1st, Ray. February 1st.
Yeah, well, you got two of them coming up. I hope you beat them both times.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, going to that championship game, I couldn't believe. I've seen a lot of games. You get 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and a fumble, and you can't beat a team with 3 minutes left, and you got a 19-7 lead. I'm not saying Seattle didn't play great down the stretch. Green Bay give that game away.
They did. No, definitely agree with you there, Ray. I mean, anytime you are dominating a game like the Packers did, specifically in that first half, and you for me it was the defense. The Packers defense just kind of just went poof. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of you got to give a lot of credit though to Seattle because at one point in that game, Russell Wilson had a 7 QBR. He finished over 100 QBR. He goes like something crazy, like 6 of 7 on his last possession to get Seattle.
Oh, he had a 0 going into the third quarter.
Exactly. He had a 0 QBR at halftime.
He must only had 50 or 60. He only had a 0 going into the fourth quarter.
Right, exactly. You have to give credit to Russell Wilson, how he was able, because there are many quarterbacks in the league, Ray, that would have folded.
I agree.
If you're having a game like that, I mean, how do you shift your mindset to say we are not out of this yet? Russell Wilson has such a short memory. And the way he came out down the key stretches of that game was unbelievable because a lot of people would just pitched up a tent and waved a white flag initially and said, "Oh, this game is over. We had a good run this season."
You know
but there was
like
no
about
quitting.
That guy the most?
What's that?
He thanked God after the game for putting him through that adversity.
Yeah, he definitely.
That takes a lot to say thank God for all the stuff that he put me through before I won this game. But I'm going to tell you, there's a couple things that worry about me against New England. I can't stand New England. I don't like the way they cheat and the way they sneak around, so I'm not rooting for them. But their defensive line better start putting some pressure on the quarterback or Brady will eat them up, and they better stop that running back. They better stop the run, and that worries me about Seattle. They have a tendency, supposed to be such a great defense, to let people run on them.
Right, definitely. It's going to be an interesting game,
it's
again,
be
because
great. It's a pick 'em game.
It is. It definitely is. I mean, because you got a squad in New England, and just looking at the track record of a guy like Bill Belichick, who's pretty much etched his legacy amongst some of the great coaches to ever coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you look at and you go you talk about going back to the scandal situation with New England, and you know, you can even turn back the clock to Spygate, and now with deflating the footballs.
Yeah, I don't remember Vince Lombardi ever doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember him when he played with the Packers. I don't remember them cheat to win.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I think, you know, this is kind of a product of the times, too, because Spygate, I mean, you know, you had cameras everywhere, and then Belichick was found to have possibly been taping the sidelines. Then the whole thing with deflated footballs, which has occurred. You know, this is the first time, really, you know, I have heard a story like this with deflating footballs. But, you know, when diving into the history of this, this has happened before, actually, in the college game.
Well, you ever notice their offense and defensive linemen, every game, get a pass thrown to them?
Yeah.
Every game.
Yeah.
I mean, they bring in one saying eligible and the other one's ineligible. I don't know, but I wish they would, you know, give the defense a chance to know who's eligible and who's not eligible before the play starts.
Right, right.
I don't know. They need to change that rule over the winter.
Yeah, but Ray, I tell you what, you got a team like New England, where it's tough to go against Tom Brady in the postseason. And then on the other side, I mean, you have, you know, the first back-to-back appearance from an NFL team in the Super Bowl in like 10 years. So,
yeah.
And Russell Wilson, that Seattle Seahawks team.
That was New England.
Yeah, exactly.
New England, they won the two back-to-back.
Exactly.
And nobody's won it since, so.
Right, right. It's
you
tough.
Know, January 31st, too, they're going to have the induction of the NFL Hall of Fame, and it takes 80% to get in there. But pray to God that Warner gets in so we can see this movie come out.
I tell you what, you're going to be first in line when that Kurt Warner movie comes out, right?
Well,
huh?
I tell you, there's going to be a whole bunch to it. I'm hoping that he brings in a lot about God, which I think he will, because he's always been that kind of person.
Yeah.
But I give Russell Wilson a lot of credit for saying what he did after the game, after he'd went through a terrible three quarters, but he never gave up.
I tell you what, I probably would have been on my knees, too, thanking the man upstairs for a win after I had the start that I had in that game as well. So
yeah, I mean, it didn't look good for him, I'll tell you. But
yeah.
Somehow they pulled it out, but they better play a lot better. They can't get away with no five turnovers against New England.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a good one, Ray. Hey, Ray.
I think it will be. I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl.
It will. It definitely will. Ray,
God
thanks a lot
you,
for
buddy.
The call.
Have a good day.
All right, you too, my man. All right, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's no hard proof that has come out about New England possibly using deflated footballs throughout that game against the Colts on Sunday. But at the same time, there is a notion out there that it did happen. Interesting story because, again, you know, New England is a team that historically, you know, is one of the best ever. You know, they've certainly etched their names in place in Super Bowl, history with the wins they had at the early 2000s, and now the career that Tom Brady has had, and now getting back to the Super Bowl. It is really, really tough to go against New England in this game. But again, I mean, looking at Seattle, the adversity that they overcame to beat the Packers, that never-die attitude, I mean, you can't expect Russell Wilson to go out there and have the kind of first half that he had against the Packers, right? It's going to be a fun game to watch. And, you know, I can't wait to see how this story pans out for New England if they are found guilty of this whole thing, because then I think you may have to put an asterisk if they do win the Super Bowl as to that very accomplishment. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's show. His name is Jack Ebling. Yeah, I'm pretty sure many of you know that name, folks. Again, a staple when it comes to the sports reporting community right here in Mid-Michigan. We'll be chatting with Jack and talking about so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, without further ado, let's get to our guest for today's show. Now, he is the host of The Drive with Jack Ebling, now on 92.1 FM, The Ticket, which can be heard weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. right on your radios. Also, Press Pass Daily, which can be seen on your TVs, weekdays at 6 p.m. on Fox 47, and Press Pass All-Stars, which airs every Sunday night on Fox 47 at 11 p.m. He is one of the hardest working men you ever come in contact with, my man, Jack Ebling. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, Al, how are you?
Fantastic. This is crazy. This is the first time you've been on our show. How about that?
It is. You know, this is the honor that everyone waits for in their career, and I'm just glad that you called.
Well, I tell you, it's an honor to have you on, Jack, okay? Now, I want to talk about this unbelievable news. I mean, the move from WVFN to now WQTX, The Ticket, that's now where The Drive with Jack Ebling can be heard weekdays at 3 o'clock. How did the birth of The Ticket come about? Talk about that.
Well, actually, since the press release came out, there was a change, and you know how corporate things get. And so we are now the team, instead of The Ticket, we are the team 92.1 FM, but
oh,
it's still WQTX, it's still 3 to 6, it's still a crystal clear FM signal, and, you know, I just told them, hey, anything you guys agree to, as long as I don't have to be on opposite Al Martin and Current Sports.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate that, Jack, okay? We definitely appreciate that. So it's now The Team. That is a very, very cool name. Now, I tell you what, when you're looking at this competition, because I was reading an article from the Lansing
right.
State Journal, actually, yesterday about it,
right.
And this is the first time that we've had sports talk competition in more than a decade. I mean, that's really cool stuff that now listeners out there can have two stations to really choose from you know, when it comes to their daily listening for, on a you know, 20-plus hour sports talk station. I mean, what is going to separate WQTX from WVFN, Jack?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, Al. One of them is FM, and that is an advantage in terms of the clarity and the range. Our signal strength is 8 times greater than it was at the other station. But I think it's all about the team. And as you know, you can't do these things alone. It takes a lot of help along the way. We have a group with us, and combined, we have over 200 years of experience, so I don't know if that means we're just all really old, we should get AARP cards or what, but we are actually covering events. We have 5 people on our team who will vote for the Heisman Trophy. We have over 100 NCAA Final Fours covered, over 100 bowl games, so we have been out in the community, and we go to enough events that we hope we are the eyes and the ears of the listeners.
That is fantastic stuff. Now, you know, one of the reasons that I dating back to when I first made up my mind that sports journalism and broadcasting was the avenue that I wanted to pursue is that, Jack, anybody who knows me knows that I'm one of the most competitive guys that you ever meet in your life.
Right.
I mean, if I'm playing my grandma in Goldfish, yeah, I'm not just trying to beat grandma. I'm trying to really stomp on grandma, okay? I've always been that way. There's to me value and importance in healthy competition no matter what the industry is. Can you talk about that a little bit, Jack?
Yeah, actually, some of the beatdowns you put on your grandma were almost inhuman, Al. I wanted to let our listeners know that.
No holds bar, Jack. No holds bar, okay?
Yeah, you know, it is competitive, and we're all competitive people. A lot of us have athletic backgrounds, and we want to be the best at what we do. So you do find a lot of that, and I think it's healthy. I think it's good for the listeners. I don't believe in just having one choice in anything. And the more competition you have, sometimes the better the product for the consumer.
That is certainly true. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Jack, really briefly here, because, you know, The Drive with Jack Ebling, I mean, again, you have you talk about the team now. You have a great team of vastly different personalities each and every day
right.
on the show. I mean, you got Joe Rexroth, Graham Couch. You had Mike Griffith. He's actually got a show with now Steve Grenzel, which is fantastic.
Right.
You got
right.
Dan Kilbridge, Crawford, Rico Beard. I mean, who is exactly your favorite co-host out of all of the ones you've worked with?
That's easy. My favorite co-host is my son, Zach, who comes back twice a year from China.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So when he comes on with me, the intelligence quotient in the studio increases exponentially.
Does it? Just skyrockets, right?
That's right.
And how is your son doing, Jack? What's he up to now?
Oh, he's doing great things. He has a couple businesses in Beijing, and we're hoping that he'll be able to relocate them to the United States
and work from here very soon. So a very exciting time for all of us.
Now, you know what, Jack, and again, I just listed that that cast of names on that list. Now, I tell you what, yeah. you go way back, like Foe Flats and the Cadillac, with one co-host in particular, that being Tom Crawford. I mean, you guys
right.
are very, very, I mean, again, you guys kind of started in this thing together, I mean, when it comes to this whole radio industry. Can you talk about the relationship with Tom and what makes that so special? Because he's also, I believe, a U of M alumni.
He is. Well, maybe the most important thing is, he's certifiably insane.
Right.
But actually, you know, we used to have these kinds of debates and arguments over the phone late at night. And when our wives finally got disgusted and would leave, and we'd do this, and he'd say, you know what? We ought to do this on the radio. We should do this and get paid. I said, you're out of your mind. Nobody's going to pay us to do this. And he said, if I can get us a radio show, will you do it? And this is early 2002. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, mostly to shut him up. I said, if you can get us a radio show, count me in. So we're covering the NCAA tournament in Washington, D.C., and the Friday afternoon, Michigan State's playing North Carolina State. And it's halftime, nearly halftime, and Michigan State is leading by about 7 points. And my phone starts blowing up, just exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it, and I said, Crawford, I told you, don't call when I'm covering a game. So at halftime, I go out and call him and say, what do you want? He says, we have a radio show. We start Monday. And I said, we start Monday? Michigan State's going to win this game. They're going to play Sunday night. I'm not even going to get back. What are you talking about?
Right, right.
He said, no, 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 you've got to get back. So sure enough, Michigan State gets an injury in the second half. A couple guys foul out. They lose the game. I change my flight, come back on the Saturday. We have a meeting. We say, well, what are we going to do? We don't even know how to turn the mics on. Don't we have to have a producer? And Tom says, well, I met this kid. I think he can do that. I said, well, this kid, who is this kid? He says, oh, he's this kid from New York. Turns out his name is Mike Valenti.
Ah.
And Mike Valenti has gone on, and now he is a top-rated radio host in the Midwest.
Right.
So he's our producer the first day, and we sign on. The first ones to sign on to a station, which is actually right where we are now, back in 92.1 FM.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Mike about a half hour before he started throwing food at Tom Crawford, some of the inane things he was saying.
Right,
and,
right.
So we did that for 4 years with Tom and then left and worked at another station and did some news and sports combined. And so we've been doing this since 2002, and I left the Lansing State Journal in 2003 after 25 years and managed to find some radio and television things and write books and just really thrilled to have seen what I've seen in mid-Michigan.
Yeah, Jack, and you have done some pretty remarkable things. I mean, you've covered sports and more as a writer and broadcaster right here in mid-Michigan since 1978, a three-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year. You were also even inducted into the 2006 class of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. I mean, Jack, when you look at your career, how have you seen this industry evolve over the years, and has that evolution been for the best?
You know, you mentioned the Hall of Fame, and if people have not seen the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame in the Lansing Center, it's really a museum now.
Yeah.
But I remember when I got inducted, and I called Judd Heathcote, and I was excited to tell him the news, and he didn't say anything for a minute, and he said, that's going to be the worst class in Hall of Fame history.
That's a great story, Jack. Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's been fantastic, and just thrilled to have seen the things I've seen. Had a chance to move on several times, but something about mid-Michigan, the people here that make it special, and it's been home to me since 1969, except for 3 years when I went and coached and taught in Lapeer.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, from the time I set foot on Michigan State's campus, I've never left.
How have you seen this industry change, though, Jack? I mean, when you look at the way sports is covered, now with the induction of social media entrenched into
right.
just about everything we do in this industry, I mean, is it for the best?
I think there are good things and bad things, Al. It's a much more difficult job than when I did it for 25 years. What Joe Rexroad and Matt Charbonneau and the like and what they do, Graham Couch, much more difficult than when I worked at the State Journal, and all we had to worry about was the newspaper. But now there are so many multimedia platforms and the chance to do daily television. We're actually on Fox 47 in my 18 6 days a week. all the tweeting, all the social networking has made things much more difficult and put you on a 24-hour news cycle. It used to be if a story broke an hour after the paper went to bed, you just hope that nobody would get it until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now you release things that way before you actually write them for the newspaper.
Right. It's very, very immediate, I tell you, Jack. Now, again, you just talked about, you know, you being a former English teacher and coach, nearly a quarter century as a beat writer and columnist for LSJ, won 21 major writing awards. I mean, what do you have a favorite piece of work that you produced over your time, Jack?
Wow. Favorite piece of work. You know, all the books were fun to do. I've had a chance to do 7 of those. I have 3 more in various stages of incompletion, but I've had a chance to do some fun things, some neat things, covering Michigan State, winning a national championship or winning a Rose Bowl is a tremendous adrenaline rush. Maybe spending a day with Muhammad Ali on his farm in Berrien Springs.
You spent a day?
Having a chance to walk the golf course inside the ropes with Tiger Woods.
Wow.
So many of those kinds of things that you have to be lucky. You have to network and know the right people, and you have to get people to trust you, and maybe that's another part of just being around for a long time.
You know, I'm such a big Ali fan. I mean, hold on, Jay, let's rewind real quick. You just said that you spent a day with the great Muhammad Ali. How did that come about?
I did. It's a very interesting story. It's back to 1999, and Tom Izzo was going to a Michigan State Notre Dame football game in South Bend and pulled up in the preferred parking lot at the same time this limo did next to him. And Izzo hops out of his car, and this woman rolls down the window and says, "Hey, coach, would you like to meet the champ?" And Tom says, "The champ? The only champ I know is Muhammad Ali." And the door is open, and here comes Ali out of the car.
Wow.
And apparently what had happened was Muhammad Ali's son, Assad, had somehow become a big Michigan State basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
So they met, exchanged greetings, and I'm not sure Ali knew exactly who Tom Izzo was, but Tom said, "Hey, if you would ever like to come to a game, bring your son, just let us know, give us a call, we'll take care of this." Sure enough, they get a call and say that they want to come up for a Connecticut game, and it's in the middle of the Big Ten season. So and he comes up, and he does his magic tricks for the team, and he's introduced at halftime. And Assad wears Michigan State clothing for 21 straight days.
21 straight days. Wow, he is a diehard.
Days. And Michigan State now goes on and wins the 2000 national championship.
Right.
So it's the summer, and it's Assad's 10th birthday. And if you're Muhammad Ali, you can get your kid whatever he wants for his birthday, but when he asked the question, Assad said, "I want to have the Michigan State basketball team come over for a party." So they call the basketball office, and the next thing you know, you get some buses heading down I-94 to Berrien Springs. And I get tipped off on this and talk to Izzo and talk to Ali's wife and said, "You know, if you'd like to come and write something for the Sporting News, you know, we'd love to have you there." So she said, it's really shocked me. She said, "The one thing is, would you please ask him to sign an autograph because he has Parkinson's disease and no one asks him to do that anymore."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Would I ask him to sign an autograph? Are you kidding?"
Right.
I had all these old programs from the Thrilla in Manila and the Rumble in the Jungle and all these actual fight programs. So I took him and got there about 2 hours before the team and spent the time with Ali. And then the whole time that the team showed up, and Assad had told all of his friends, they had about 100 friends, they actually put a basketball court in for that event.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Yeah, and he was telling everyone, "Hey, Michigan State basketball team's going to be here," and they all thought he was just kidding, and sure enough, here come the buses, and he's running across this big field yelling, "I got Charlie Bell on my team." So,
And how old is he at the time,
you know,
again, Jack?
The players are there, and they play basketball. They have a great time. And finally, they decide that they're going to take the team into the boxing area.
Okay.
And they have a ring set up, and there's a whole deal where Ali had worked out in a heavy bag and all the trophies and, you know, all the memorabilia. And so Ali gets up in the ring, and he starts motioning Izzo to come up in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom doesn't want to do it, and finally the players kind of push him up into the ring, and they put these gloves on him, and Ollie's kind of sleepy, just going around the ring, and he wants Izzo to punch at him. And, you know, Tom, he's not going to punch at Muhammad Ali, so he just kind of throws a little, you know, hand out there, and Ali moves away from it. And finally, Ali unloads about 8 punches at Tom Izzo's head.
Oh, wow.
And pulls them, and so each one lands about 1 inch short of the target. And it's it's amazing that Tom Izzo did not wet himself.
Right, right.
But he did stick his head under the ring, and the players for the next 8 months kept saying, yeah, we are a real tough guy for a coach. Yeah.
Right.
So they got a chance to see this, and it was a phenomenal day for all of them. They all came on the buses except for Cleaves and Peterson, who had just gotten new cars.
Oh, okay.
They signed their bonuses, and they were able to come on their own. They drove behind. So it was a fantastic day, and then the team left, and I spent another hour and a half with Ali and finally left that night and wrote a piece that was one of my favorites.
Wow, that is unbelievable stuff. What a story, Jack. What a story. Now, before I let you go, Jack, and thanks a lot for sharing that as well,
yeah.
I want to talk about briefly Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, just to get your take on how the season has gone thus far for this squad.
Yeah.
Now, they are 12-6 overall,
right?
3-2 in the conference. They're coming off a road loss to Maryland. Where do you pinpoint the woes of this team so far? And what have you seen from this team that could possibly allude to this whole thing turning around, if anything? I don't know.
Well, they have some fundamental issues. They have a tough time stopping dribble penetration. They're not a good team at getting to the basket, and when they do get fouled, they don't make many of them. They've had 3 games they've lost in overtime, and they've played some teams that they probably weren't going to win. They weren't going to beat Duke. Playing a ranked Notre Dame team on the road, playing a ranked Maryland team on the road. Those are very tough matchups for Michigan State, tough challenges. They had some games they should have won, certainly. Certainly should have beaten Texas Southern. Probably could have won the Maryland game that was here, had a great chance to do that and let that slip away in double overtime. So disappointing record in terms of the numbers. But if you look at the schedule, Al, coming up, this team could go either way. It could lose 1 out of every 3 games it plays for the next 6 weeks, or it could go on a roll. It has 10 games in a row that you have to think they're either going to be favored or at worst to be a toss-up. And if they win all 10 of those, they'll be 13-2 in the Big Ten when they go to Wisconsin on March 1st.
Yeah. So do you think they can turn it around?
I think they have a good chance to turn it around. You know, you look at the health of this team, is such a big factor. When Brandon Dawson got hurt and had that fracture, he wasn't there for the Texas Southern game, threw the chemistry off. He's still having a hard time making a layup, as you saw last Saturday.
Right.
But they need to get some confidence. They need to shoot free throws with authority. And they need a couple guys to continue to develop. Right now, I don't think there's any continuity in the rotation. Tom Izzo is a little bewildered by that and who to play when and what matchups to have out on the floor. So there's a lot that has to be done yet for this team, but I don't think this is going to be a great Michigan State team. I still think it can be a pretty good one.
Yes, I do believe that as well. Again, folks, Michigan State, they take on Penn State in East Lansing this week, 7 p.m. tip time for that one. All right, hey, Jack, remind all the listeners out there how they can check your show out.
Thank you very much, Al. Yeah, you can listen to us at The Team, 92.1 FM, and you can also follow us online, your Spreaker podcast, at drivewithjack.com, drivewithjack.com, and the television show weeknights, 6 to 6:30 on My 18, and then the Press Pass All-Star Show is 11 to midnight on Sundays on Fox 47, and maybe someday we'll be lucky enough to get Al Martin on our panel.
One of these days. I tell you what, Jack, I'm counting down that'll be the highlight of my career, okay? Jack,
you're
appreciate
easily,
it. Jack, as
all
always,
right.
Fantastic job. Folks, they do an outstanding job. Jack and his team do one fantastic job. Check out his show. Thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it.
You got it, Al. Take care.
All right, you too. There you have it, the one, the only, Jack Ebling. I tell you what, he has stories for days, folks. One outstanding individual there. All right, well, it's our second break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by talking about the top 5 weirdest moments in sports history And also, we'll briefly hit on the Pistons and Red Wings. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything that is on that little sports noggin of yours, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We just finished up wrapping up a conversation with Jack Ebling, who is the host of The Drive with Jack Ebling, which is now on 92.1 FM, The Team. How about that? I tell you what, Jack and his team does one outstanding job. He's making the move from AM on WVFN to now 92.1 FM, The Team. It was entitled The Ticket, but they've changed the name as of yesterday. So how about that, though? So you got two local stations from around the area who cover sports, ideally 24 hours a day, now competing with one another. That is fun stuff, folks. Fun stuff there. I always say healthy competition is always good competition, all right? Gotta love that. All right, folks. Well, 10 minutes left in the show. Let's go into Top 5 Tuesday right now, folks. Again, each and every Tuesday, we love to bring a Top 5 sporting topic and, you know, get away from the X's and O's and just have a little fun, okay? So today, we're going to do just that and list the Top 5 weirdest moments in sports history. All right, folks. Yes, Top 5 Tuesday. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Gotta love that. I forgot where I ripped that music from, but it definitely suits the mood, right, on each and every Tuesday, okay? Now, the reason why I thought to bring this to the table is because, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but Tiger Woods, who is my favorite athlete in the game right now, even though he hasn't won a major since the dinosaurs were walking the earth. But still, that's beside the point. Tiger Woods actually was spotted over the weekend missing a front tooth. How weird is that, right? Now, according to Tiger Woods' agent, Woods lost a tooth when he was hit in the mouth with a camera as media members rushed towards the gate at the World Cup ski races out in Italy over the weekend. Now, Woods was at the event watching his girlfriend Lindsey Vonn compete, who, again, Lindsey Vonn just set history as the most decorated woman skier in the history of the game. How about that? So Woods is there wanting to congratulate his boo-boo and ended up getting his tooth knocked out by a cameraman. How weird and crazy is that, folks? So we thought, hey, let's have some fun and dig into sports history and, you know, find some weird moments here. So I'm going to start with number 5 here. This moment comes from Erin Andrews, actually. Now, you guys know Erin Andrews, right? She's a sideline reporter for Fox Sports. She's fantastic at what she does, just a natural on camera. And Erin actually had an interesting moment with hip-hop artist 50 Cent. Now, Erin happened to be actually at a NASCAR event in which she was looking for a certain racer. And on her way to the car to try and find that racer, which he didn't end up finding in the first place, 50 Cent happens to be at, how, first of all, that's weird to have 50 Cent, a hip-hop artist, at a NASCAR event alone in general. Who knew that 50 Cent was a NASCAR enthusiast? Who knew? But 50 was there and sees Erin. Erin sees him, and he tries to kiss Erin, I believe it looked like on the lips. Just listen to this bite.
Go to the person who has stole the spotlight here at the Daytona 500. That's, of course, Danica Patrick, who made history earlier this week and is on the verge of making history. We're going to try to see if we can talk to her. Of course, 50 Cent here. I got to go talk to Danica Patrick. Good to see you. What are you doing here?
I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying all the festivities while we're rolling. So
we're going to go see Danica. You guys believe this?
Yeah, that was pretty weird. You could kind of hear 50, but right as she says 50 Cent, you can hear him say, mm-mm. That was when he tried to kiss her, folks. How weird is that? Okay, if you check out that, it's actually pretty funny too, because after that happens, 50 tries to follow her as she proceeds with her report to the car to try to find the certain racer, whoever it was. I believe it's Danica Patrick, who she was looking for, but that's a weird, awkward moment. Next weird moment I have for you guys is sportscaster Marv Albert. Now, he was actually fired by NBC. This took place, I believe, in 1997, actually, like, you know, in September of 1997. He was fired by NBC hours after pleading guilty to assault and battery in a plea bargain that ended his trial on a charge of forcible sodomy. How about that? Now, he had been accused by a longtime lover of biting her back and forcing her to perform some acts in a hotel room. He was even caught cross-dressing in the whole ordeal. How about that? This is the great Marv Albert we're talking about. Marv Albert, the voice of the NBA. I mean, you know, any Michael Jordan highlight film you watch, you can hear Marv's voice recounting countless historic moments. Yes, this is that same Marv Albert. It is so ironic because, you know, I don't know if you guys saw over the weekend that Greg Anthony, who is a commentator for CBS Sports and also Turner Sports, he was actually suspended indefinitely from both of those media outlets for soliciting a prostitute online. Yeah, come on, folks. We got to do better, okay? Again, Marv Albert, though, definitely makes the list. Number three is a moment where you just had a blunder on the air, folks. Stuart Scott, of course, the late Stuart Scott now, who passed away from cancer, one of my journalistic idols. He actually starts this bite by singing the great Ode to Oklahoma song on SportsCenter. And he's throwing to Doris Burke, who's a longtime NBA, you know, sideline reporter and commentator. And he throws to Doris to do her report from the game. But she doesn't realize that she is on live television.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. Join in. And the OK City Arena tonight as the Thunder get ready to host Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. I'll stop. One last report. Let's check in with Doris Burke courtside. Doris.
Stuart, Jason Kidd told us this morning after shoot-around that as an opponent, this arena is as loud and as good as it gets in the NBA. Several other guys have told me that this as close as any arena in the NBA to... Sorry about that. Three, two... Stuart, Jason Kidd saying this morning after shoot-around that as an opponent, this arena is as loud and as good as it gets in the NBA. Several other players say...
Yeah, folks. And you know what? And just to give you guys kind of a window and peek into, you know, reporting from a game on TV, I do it all the time. You know, when I'm compiling a report and doing a stand-up is what they call it. A stand-up is just you holding the mic, doing a report on camera. If it's not live, you can do as many takes as you want and pick from the best one. And you count down to separate the editing process of when you edit it afterwards. So I always do the, okay, all right, blah, 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 blah. If I mess up, I say, all right, let me redo that. 3, 2, 1. That's what you heard from Doris. But you can't do that on live TV. Oh. All right, folks. And last but certainly not least, the number one weirdest moment in sports, at least according to me, has to be when Iron Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear. I mean, that for me is I've never seen another athlete take a chunk out of another individual in the fighting ring. I actually bit it off, and then you guys have seen that story. You've seen the video. You've heard it recounted, and it's funny now because Mike and Evander are now pretty cool guys right now. I mean, they're friends right now. I guess, if you want a friend, I guess bite their ear off, and maybe you guys can reconcile your differences. But it's just a weird moment. I've never seen anyone bite another individual's ear while fighting. Oh, all right. Well, that wraps up our show, folks. That's the number one moment. I don't know how any other moment can top that one. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's Current Sports. I want to give a big shout out to Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack, now on 92.1 The Team, which can be heard weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Hey, folks, you take care. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.